Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. Now, the message today will be taken from the book of Jude. The little book of Jude is the second to the last book of the Bible, right before Revelation. And it's Jude verses 24 and 25, the last two verses of the book of Jude. The title of the message is, The Lord God is Able. The Lord God is Able. Now, for the past several weeks, I've been dealing with the issue of the eternal security of the saved, the eternal security of a true believer. And I've been going through several messages on that subject, taking several passages of Scripture, hopefully trying to show you from the Bible all the aspects that prove from the Scripture that if a sinner is truly saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinner is eternally secure in salvation. She cannot lose that salvation. There's no such thing in the Bible concerning true salvation, real salvation, of a sinner being saved one day and lost the next, or however people put that. And I know the biggest objection to that is, well, somebody says, well, if that's true, then I don't have to obey, I don't have to believe. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the work of salvation by the grace of God through Christ is a work done for God's people by Jesus Christ on the cross in His redemptive work. And also, it's a work in His people, and that's the work of Christ by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. So we've seen some of that. But one of the things that I've been trying to stress in this program concerning the subject of the eternal security of the believer, of the saved, is that salvation, all of salvation, the beginning of it, the continuation of it, and the final end of it, coming to its culmination, rather, is all of grace, not conditioned on me or on you or on any sinner, but all conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ fulfilled those conditions. He saves us by grace, He keeps us by grace, and He'll bring us to glory by grace. Bringing us to glory means to the eternal bliss of heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. All who believe in Him. And you say, well, aren't there conditions for salvation, such as, doesn't the Bible say, he that believeth not shall be damned, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? And the Bible says that. You're not going to be saved without believing. You're not going to be preserved or kept without believing and following Christ. You're not going to enter glory without believing. But our believing is not the condition that we meet out of our own power, our own goodness, or our own will in order to attain or maintain or complete salvation. Our believing is the gift of God that evidences that we are saved by grace, kept by grace, and that we'll enter glory by grace. Now, somebody might say, well, you're just splitting hairs there. That really doesn't matter. Now, let me tell you something now. It does matter. And I'll tell you why. Because salvation, in all of its aspects, is about the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let no man glory in himself. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God gets all the glory. You see, what I'm telling you is this. As a saved person, I can tell you right now, I did not make the difference in my salvation. Christ made the difference. It's the grace of God alone that made the difference. Here's a person who hears the gospel, and here's another person who hears the gospel. One believes, one doesn't. Why? Is it because the one who believes is better, less stubborn, less obstinate, less rebellious? Is it because the one who believes has a softer heart, a kinder heart, a better heart? Is that what the Bible teaches? I know that's what people really believe, even though they may not state it that way. But is that what the Bible teaches? And the answer is no. The answer in the Bible is what we don't want to hear by nature. By nature means as we naturally are. You see, the Bible tells us that we all fell in Adam, and that we were totally ruined by the fall. That we're born dead in trespasses and sins. That our natural heart, our natural mind, our natural affections, our natural will is in bondage to sin and self. And left to ourselves, we will not believe. We will not receive Christ. We will not call upon the Lord. We will not decide for Him if left to ourselves. You see, that's why Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Salvation is not by the will of man. It's by the will of God. So I've been trying to stress that Christ fulfilled all conditions and that salvation is not by our power, our goodness, or our will. It's by the power, goodness, and will of God. But that doesn't negate or cancel out the fact that we must believe. You say, well, that all sounds like a paradox to me. Well, my friend, the Bible presents many paradoxes that you can't figure out. But don't try to figure them out by denying the truth, even though you can't grasp it. But here's what I want you to see. Salvation is not by the goodness or the abilities, or the will of man. It's by the goodness, the ability, and the will of God. Now, in the book of Jude, where our message is from, the book of Jude, that little book of Jude, which deals with the church in the last days, and it talks about false preachers, different kinds of false preachers coming in, trying to draw those who profess to believe in Christ away from Christ, away from the gospel. And the book of Jude is a warning to beware of these kinds of people. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them, because they'll lead you away from Christ. They'll lead you away from salvation by grace. They'll lead you away from His righteousness to trying to establish your own. You see, salvation is based on the righteousness of God, which is the merits of Christ, obedience unto death, as the substitute and surety of His people. When a person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that person do? Well, by the power and grace of God, he comes to submit to Christ as his only righteousness before God. But now these false preachers in Jude, they'll try to steer you away from that. They'll try to draw you away from that. Look to yourself. Look to others. So beware of that. But in the end of the book, in these last two verses, he gives sort of a goodbye to them by ascribing glory to God. And listen to what he says in verse 24 of Jude. He says, "Now unto him," that's God, "that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God," this is verse 25, "to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Now that's the summation of the eternal security of the believer right there in two verses. Let's look at what it says. Now first of all, he says, "Now unto him," who is the him there? That's God Almighty. That's God who is the God of all glory. That's the God who is the believer's heavenly Father. Christ taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." You see, God is the believer's Father, heavenly Father. Well, how can He be the Father to a sinner? You see, the Bible teaches that God must judge and punish sin. He cannot look over it or deny it or ignore it. He's a just God. The soul that sinneth must surely die. The wages of sin is death. To a person who is a sinner standing before God without Jesus Christ, without having been washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness, you see, without that, what is God to that person? He's not a loving, merciful Father. He cannot be, because He must remain true to Himself. He must honor Himself above all things. God cannot deny Himself. That means He cannot deny His holiness. He cannot deny His justice and truth. You see, yes, God is a merciful God, and He cannot deny His mercy. He's a loving God. He cannot deny His love. But you see, the point of salvation by the grace of God in Christ is that God must be both a righteous judge as well as a loving Father. How can that be? And that's the great mystery of the ages. That's the mystery that is uncovered only in the gospel message. No other religion even addresses that question, let alone answers it. How can a man, a sinful, wretched, fallen, rebellious man, who deserves nothing but death and hell, how can such a man be just with holy God? How can God forgive my sins? How is that possible? He must punish sin. You say, oh, but He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. That's not biblical. The Bible says God hates all workers of iniquity. He said God loves Jacob and hates Esau. Why? Because Jacob was a better man than Esau? No. Because God chose to do so. And they said in Romans 9, Paul anticipated it. That's not fair. If you're saying that right now, Romans 9 talks about you. I'm sorry, it does. Because Paul anticipated you. And He anticipated me too, because I used to say that too. That's not fair. My friend, if God gave us what was fair and just, we would all perish in damnation. Do you believe that? If you don't, you don't believe the Bible. You see, salvation has nothing to do with what I deserve or what I've earned. And I want to burn that into your brain. I can't do that. It takes the Holy Spirit to burn it into your brain, into your heart. But that's what I want to keep emphasizing. How can a holy God forgive my sin? God, I can tell you right now, God forgives sin. He's a forgiving God. But He will never forgive one sin or 1 million sins apart from His law and justice being satisfied. He must be a righteous judge as well as a loving Father. How can that be? Well, the answer is in the person, the glorious person, and the finished work of Jesus Christ as the surety and the substitute of His people. And Christ being the surety and the substitute of His people is the basis for the salvation and eternal security of the saved. You see, the reason people today believe that you can be saved one day and lost the next is because Christ is not their surety. You know who is? They are. They are their own surety. They made the difference in salvation, so they make the difference in preservation. You see what I'm saying? And that is not salvation by grace. That is a false gospel. That's salvation by the works and the will of man. But you see, Jude writes here, he says, "Now unto him that is able." You see, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to preservation, I'm not able. You're not able. You see, a person who believes that salvation in its beginning, in its continuation, or in its culmination is conditioned on themselves, they do not understand the reality of sin. What sin really is, how sin affects them, how sin controls them. That's why one of the first things the Holy Spirit does in conviction is convict us of sin, because we believe not on Christ. You see, I don't have the ability to save myself. I don't have the ability to keep myself. Somebody says, well, you may not have the ability, but you can cooperate with God. It's a cooperative effort. No, it is all of grace. I'm telling you, it's all the mercy of God. I often tell people this, because I believe this puts things in perspective concerning whether you agree with me or not. I think this puts things in perspective to let you know what I believe. And here's what I believe. Right now, I stand before God, perfect, holy, and righteous, not by anything I am or have done or will do or stop doing. I stand before God, holy, perfect, and righteous, only in Christ, who is my holiness, who is my perfection, who is my righteousness. I am righteous in Christ. That's what we call the imputed righteousness of Christ. The sins of God's elect were imputed. The word imputed means to account, to charge, to lay to the charge of or the account of. The debt of my sins was charged, imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He went to the cross and suffered and bled and died for my sins. And what He did on that cross is work out a righteousness, a perfection, the merits of His obedience unto death that God imputed to me, charged to me. Christ took my debt, and in return I get His righteousness, His wealth, you might say. And that's the great exchange. So what I'm saying is, I stand before God not based on my works or my efforts, not even based on my faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will not be saved. Nobody will be saved without believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do we believe? I believe He is all my holiness. He is all my righteousness. I believe He is all my perfection. For Christ is the end of the law. This is Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, I think a lot of people today, they don't have really faith in Christ. What they have is faith in their faith. In other words, they believe that they made the difference. Their believing is their righteousness, or their believing is their security. But that's not true. True believers believe that Christ is their righteousness, that Christ is their security. And that's the difference, you see. And that's what Jude is saying here. Now unto him that is able. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, what have I committed unto Him? My whole salvation. My whole salvation, in its beginning, in its continuation, and in its culmination, is committed to Christ. It's on His shoulders. And that's what he's saying here in verse 24 of Jude. Now unto Him that is able to do what? To keep you from falling. I can't keep myself from falling. I can't. I am commanded in the Scripture to continually look to Christ. You see, God saves and preserves His children to glory by His grace and power through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't keep that up because I'm a sinner. Even as a saved person, we're still sinners saved by the grace of God. That's what a Christian is, a sinner saved by the grace of God. And Paul described it in one place in Romans 7, 14 through 25. You can read that, where he talks about remaining sin in a believer while in this world. You see, Christ has totally freed me from the penalty of sin, the condemnation of sin. He's freed me from the power of sin only in this sense, the power of sin to keep me deceived in false religion and sin, and the power of sin to keep me from believing. You see, I believe because I've been given the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see, as a sinner, I still cannot keep myself. But He's able to keep me from falling. And verse 24 of Jude, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now right now, legally, judicially, objectively, I'm righteous in Christ based on His righteousness imputed. But within myself, I'm still a sinner. I'm continually in need of God's grace. And if the Lord were to judge me at any time, in my best times or my worst times, based on my works, I would be doomed forever. But I stand in Christ, holy, without blame, faultless in Christ. But in myself I'm a sinner. But in the end, as He keeps me from falling and brings me to glory in heaven, I'll be totally free then from even the presence of sin, the influence of sin, the contamination of sin. I'll have a new body, a spiritual body, without sin. At that time, I'll be able to think a thought without sin. And that's an amazing thing. I don't know what that's like. You may think you do, but you don't, if you really understand what sin is. And that's what this is about. He's able to keep us from falling, keep His people from falling. And His ability is by His grace and power in Jesus Christ. Christ is the surety of my salvation. Over in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 6 to the Philippian believers. He said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That who begun the good work in the believer? God did. You must be born again. People today say, well, the way you're born again is you first believe, and then as a result, you're born again. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that believing is the result of the new birth. It's kind of like this. Think about physical birth. You don't breathe first and then you're born physically. You're born physically and then you breathe. And it's the same way in spiritual birth, by an analogy is what I'm saying, that you don't believe first and then born again. You see, in the new birth, what happens? The Holy Spirit imparts spiritual life and knowledge that we don't have by nature. He brings us from darkness to light. He gives us, as the Bible says, a new heart, a new spirit. God says, I'll put my spirit within them and cause them to walk in my statutes. This is the work of God. Now, He which begun that work will perfect it, perform it. That means complete it. In other words, what God starts, He doesn't quit and stop on. What God starts, He finishes. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we, that is believers, sinners saved by grace, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in His righteousness, regenerated by the Spirit, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, not because of, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's able to keep us from falling, and he'll present his people faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God's people are already faultless in Christ, but then in glory they'll be totally faultless, not only in Christ, but in themselves. Now, the whole basis and goal of this is the glory of God. Verse 25 of the book of Jude. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, what he's saying there is this. When a sinner is brought by the Holy Spirit to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that sinner goes through his life. It may be a short life. It may be a long life. But all that process of being preserved by the grace of God, all of that process of that sinner persevering in the faith. You know, the Bible commands God's people to persevere, continue, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean, that doesn't preach, teach salvation. That's Philippians 2:12. That doesn't teach salvation by works or preservation by works. When he says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what he means is persevere in the faith. One translation says work out of your salvation. But that doesn't matter. What he's saying is that I am to work hard to keep myself looking to Christ. Hebrews 12:2 talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher. Completer of my faith. So Christ is my surety. Christ is the power. Christ is the glory. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling simply means to continue to look to Christ. And so we are commanded to persevere. And then the next verse says, it's God that works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Well, I hope this message has been helpful, and I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.